welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Wednesday, the final day of November 2011, and I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030. We are Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. Then our simulcast partners, KJAA AM 1240, our friends in Gila County, listening to us in Globe, and then in Douglas and Cochise County, they listen to the Buckmaster Show on KAPR AM 930. We have live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com, along with an archive of our previous programs, also live streaming at kvoi.com. And we continue to grow the opportunities for you to listen to the program 24/7. I call it 24/7, anytime, anywhere listening. And there are three places where you can find that: buckmastershow.com. We're on TucsonSentinel.com, and our newest agreement is with the Tucson Citizen. The Buckmaster Show is available there at TucsonCitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to 1. We begin with Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Executive Director of the Center for Integrative Medicine, which is based at the University of Arizona. Dr. Mazes is one of two dozen monthly contributors to this program. You can check out the full list at buckmastershow.com. At 30 past the hour, is it cheaper to drive up to Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport or fly out of the hometown airport, Tucson International Airport? The answer may surprise you. And we'll close out the show talking about new life for the Tucson Mission Gardens Project at the base of A Mountain, which is the birthplace of the Old Pueblo. We encourage you to be part of our conversation. The Buckmaster Show live line is 790-2040. You can also email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. We begin now with Dr. Victoria Mazes. And Dr. Mazes, good to see you.
Thank you. Great to be here.
I want to begin with this study, adults over 65 being at risk of, well, emergency hospitalization for adverse drug events from a group of widely prescribed medicines. That's according to a Centers for Disease Control and Prevention study, which was published in the New England Journal of Medicine. Dr. Mazes, I want to also point out that she is the executive director of the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine, a professor of medicine, family, and community medicine and public health at the University of Arizona. In other words, she's very busy. But that's why we're always glad Victoria Mazes spends a little time with us. What do you think of this new? Was this published? This is a fairly recent study.
Yes, it was published a week ago. Okay. And I think that it's very important information because it shows that there have been 100,000 emergency hospitalizations each year for adverse drug effects. And these are the pretty common drugs. For example, Coumadin or warfarin, which is a blood thinner that's commonly used. There were a third of the hospitalizations were because of the Coumadin, which can cause bleeding where you don't want it to be, you know, where people may be bleeding from their stomachs or throwing up blood. So a blood thinner also can lead to bleeds in the brain, very significant.
And it is really commonly prescribed for many older people.
Yes, there are many indications. It's a medicine that has to be very carefully monitored so you're not overcoagulated or undercoagulated. You know, both of those present risks. The other medicines were things we use for diabetes, so insulin or oral hypoglycemic agents, and about a quarter, 25%, were from that combination. And, you know, there I think it's really interesting. We tend to focus on tight control of diabetes and say that that's the best way to manage diabetes. But actually, there are studies that show that as you get older, tight control actually presents more risk of death, of hospitalization, than a little bit more lax control. So we might start someone off when they're 60 and say they should be tightly controlled, but when they start getting into 70 or 80, we might have to shift the way we manage diabetes.
And, well, okay, we've got a third of these hospitalizations. I don't know if we mentioned at the top, but we were talking about each year nearly 100,000 emergency hospitalizations. That's a lot of people.
Right, and actually even more emergency room visits. The study showed that there were 265,000 emergency visits a year for adverse drug effects, and then 100,000 of those people were actually hospitalized. So, you know, this really leads us to think very carefully about safety and what happens when we put people on multiple medicines. And actually, in the United States, if you're over 60, 37% of people over the age of 60 are taking five or more medications every single day, prescription medications day in and day out.
That is unbelievable. I mean, I shouldn't say it's unbelievable because you talk to so many older Americans and they do. It's common. They say, I'm taking this, I'm taking that. I can't keep them all straight. I've got them all on the counter. One of them's supposed to be three times a day, another one once a day. And it's really not a surprise that you're going to have people winding up in the emergency room.
Right. I agree. Well, you know, the other thing is that there was a couple of studies that came out of Israel that looked at the feasibility of discontinuing medications when elderly people were on multiple medications. And you could think of different reasons why you would want to do that. I mean, one is as people get older and maybe more frail, for example, they're at greater risk when they're on a blood thinner because if they fall, the risk is going to be greater. Sometimes they've lost weight and they don't need the high blood pressure medicine. As I said before, tight control of diabetes may no longer be indicated. It may be no longer indicated to treat their cholesterol once they reach the age of 80. And so there were protocols that were developed to actually discontinue medications. And they found that it was a pretty small study, this was only about 70 people, but they found that they could discontinue almost 60% of people's medication.
Really?
Yes. So that's an interesting thing. It may be something you want to bring to your doctor to say, you know, I've been on this medicine a really long time. Do I have to stay on it? Is it one of those things I must be on forever?
Or can we phase it out? Or if I'm taking so many milligrams, could we maybe go down to half of that and maybe eventually get rid of it?
Right. That's a great set of questions. And not to assume that once you're on something, you know, forever, you must stay on. And actually, Medicare provides for counseling with a pharmacist to all people who are on five or more medicines as a part of the Part D of Medicare. So there are ways in which you can actually take a careful look at your medications and ask the question of, could any of these be discontinued?
Dr. Victoria Mazes is with us. If you would like to join in the conversation, you are certainly welcome to do so. Perhaps you have a question about multiple medications, 790-2040, 790-2040. So we mentioned that a third of these emergency hospitalizations, this would be 100,000 in 1 year of people over 65, but that's an overnight visit. 265,000 people actually needed to go to the emergency room. A third of them were for Coumadin, 14% involved insulin, and we did not mention that there was 13% involving the antiplatelet drugs, and I guess this would be common aspirin.
Aspirin, exactly.
Which can be a danger.
Well, you and I have actually talked about this in the past, that like with any medication, there are risks and there are benefits. So the benefits, as we know, are to help prevent a stroke and to help prevent heart attack. And aspirin is widely recommended for people in certain age ranges. But actually, as you get older, the United States Preventive Task Force actually recommends not treating with aspirin because the risk of a GI bleed, of bleeding from your stomach, a stomach ulcer, it may be painless. It's not that you have certain symptoms ahead of time, but that the risk of that bleed outweighs the benefit of preventing the potential heart attack or stroke. And so I think it's one of those things that we all have to consider is that, yes, medicines can be very beneficial, but as this recent study shows, they also present potential risks. And 100,000 hospitalizations a year from adverse drug effects is the the public health or the population risk that we face with multiple medications.
790-2040, 790-2040 is the Buckmaster Show live line number. Victoria Mazes, slip on your headset there. We are going to hear from Dean, who has a question. Dean, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. One of the things that comes to my mind is that perhaps this possibility of oversubscription, I suppose, or it might just be that doctors are in the peculiar position of they better practice as much medicine as they can in prescription so they won't get sued when something goes wrong. So is it the fact that perhaps that's an influence on some of this prescription of medicine is because I better protect myself by protecting, you know, by using as much as I can?
I think that's a good question, Dean. Perhaps the physicians are trying to cover themselves. Go ahead, Dr. Mazes.
Well, I agree that this whole issue of what we call defensive medicine, where you might prescribe something because the guidelines say that everybody should have this prescribed, could potentially influence somebody's practice. And for many of the conditions we're talking about, diabetes, high blood pressure, high lipids. We don't necessarily have guidelines for elderly patients. So it's harder to do studies on people once they're over the age of 75 or 80. And so sometimes we extrapolate and we say, well, if this medicine is good when you're 55 or 60, perhaps we should also be prescribing it when you're 80.
And that may not be the case.
Absolutely
and
true.
And it may not be the case over even, you said 80, it may not be the case even over 65 to 70.
Well, the risk-benefit ratio could be very different mm-hmm. because as we get older, we are at greater risk of some of the side effects as has shown up in these studies. We're also more likely to be on multiple medicines, and so we get interactions between medicines. Sometimes it's just confusing when you're on multiple things. Did I take that or didn't
right,
I? How
right.
many times a day do I have to take it?
And so, or you forget, did I take it?
Right. So the safety considerations are different, but I do think that this is an area that for safety, we really do need to be focusing more clearly on the guidelines as people get to be over 65, 70, 75, 80, and be thoughtful about risks and benefits.
Let's try to get to Roberta here on the Buckmaster Show live line before we take the break and then come back with Dr. Mazes. Go ahead, Roberta.
Thank you very much. Is there any hope of the healthcare system ever changing over to more natural methods of treatment, such as supplements, herbs, and homeopathic medications, where there's far less reactions and interactions?
Good question.
Well, I would certainly support that, Roberta. I think that that's a lot of the work that the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine is doing. We're training physicians so that they are aware of things that are potentially safer, that have less side effects. So, for example, both diabetes and high blood pressure are really lifestyle diseases. If you keep your weight normal, if you exercise regularly, if you know how to manage stress, you're going to have much more normal blood pressure. Diabetes, again, very related to weight and weight gain as we age. And so besides just supplements that might be brought in, these are very much things that living a healthy lifestyle can really help prevent or early in the diagnosis, sometimes we can reverse by instituting a healthy lifestyle.
A big announcement for the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. That will be the issue we will be covering when we return with the Buckmaster Show. It's 12:18. Dr. Victoria Mazes will be filling us in on this big announcement that was made this week concerning her center and primary care clinic. That's coming up next. Stay with us.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Twenty-two on the Buckmaster Show and the Buckmaster Show Live Line. A couple of very good questions that came in for Dr. Victoria Mazes. We're talking about medicines and multiple medicines. Sometimes people getting confused, and Dr. Mazes sharing with us earlier in the hour about the fact that the average, what is it, over, did you say over 65, the amount of pill, the average medic people are taking
37% of adults over the age of 60 are taking 5 or more medicines every single day, prescription medicines. That, of course, doesn't include vitamins or supplements or over-the-counters. These are prescription drugs. And the risk of interaction when people use, we call this polypharmacy, are substantial.
We're with Dr. Mazes, and of course, Dr. Mazes is the executive director of the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine. Big announcement this week up in Maricopa County in Phoenix that the center will be really, I guess, opening a new clinic in the Phoenix area in July of 2012. Tell us what's the significance of this Phoenix Integrative Primary Care Clinic.
Well, this is really exciting for our center. This is a project we have wanted to do a long time, and there are several parts to it. The first part is that we will be opening an integrative primary care clinic in Maricopa County. And so, as you know, at our clinic at the University of Arizona in Tucson, we offer consultative care, but people are always saying, can't I get my primary care here? And so we've spent a year designing a model that people could have full integrative of primary care. And the first clinic will be opening in Maricopa County in July 2012. So that's the first exciting part. The second part is that we have, and this is what happened on Monday of this week, we signed an agreement with the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, where Maricopa County employees will be able to choose this integrative primary care clinic as their health care. The county will make a benefit available to them. They're self-insured. They have multiple different benefit plans, but now employees can choose integrative medicine for their benefit if they so desire. And the third part that's really so important for the field of integrative medicine is that we receive funding from the Adolf Coors Foundation to study the outcomes so that we will look at people receiving integrative primary care versus people getting conventional care and compare them head to head in terms of the clinical effectiveness and the cost.
This sounds like it's going to be a model for the nation.
We hope so. That is certainly the goal. We spend a lot of time designing it because we feel that there needs to be a new model for integrative primary care, for primary care in general. And we designed it so that it could be replicated and so that it'll be financially sustainable and can be replicated all around the country.
And we're talking about 13,000 employees in that Maricopa County system. So this is going to be a large project.
Yes. So all of the county employees and their dependents will be eligible. We'll begin with adults, but all of the adult employees and their dependents will be eligible to sign up for this. That's 25,000 county employees potentially who might choose. Now, some, of course, will be very happy with their current primary care doctor or will say the location isn't convenient enough. But we do expect that we'll have a substantial number who will come into the clinic and who will participate in the research study.
And your colleague, Dr. Weil, who is the founder of the center, he was with you up there in Phoenix.
Yes, they were very excited to have him at the Board of Supervisors meeting. Many of them spoke to being fans.
I think Time magazine called him one of the five most familiar faces in America. So when he walked into the Board of Supervisors chambers in Maricopa County, it was like, hey, that's Dr. Weil.
Yes, they were delighted. And in addition, I'd have to say that the county manager, David Smith, was really visionary because it was his leadership and his vision to make this benefit available to the county employees. And, you know, you always have to have a visionary leader at the top to make something happen.
Let's go back to the Buckmaster Show live line talking about quality of doctors. And Dan is with us now on the Buckmaster Show. You're with Dr. Mazes. Go ahead, Dan.
Thank you. My son is a teaching doctor in Pennsylvania. I have a couple of questions. His daughter is going to a nursing school in New Jersey, I think it's Cherry Hill area. She's going to become a nurse in, I think he said, 16 months. Is that possible, and what quality would they be producing?
Well, it's a great question, and I don't know the length of all of the nursing training programs. However, we have a nursing shortage in the United States, and so many colleges of nursing have been innovative in terms of
fast track.
Yeah, how quickly they could train, especially when the nurses already have a bachelor's degree.
So perhaps if you already have the bachelor's degree and you want to go into the medical profession, nursing, there might be some kind of a fast-track program. Dan brings up kind of a good point about training of doctors for your program. And now this new program up in Phoenix, you're going to need integrative medicine doctors.
Yes, we will. And in fact, the clinic in Phoenix will be staffed by graduates of our fellowship program. And the fellowship program is a two-year, 1,000-hour training program. We have had almost 1,000 fellows enroll. We have quite a few in Maricopa County, although once the job is posted, I could certainly see people applying from other states as well.
Do you know where your location will be? Do you already have a site in Phoenix?
We have two sites we're looking at, and the county has asked us to put this in downtown Phoenix, very close to the county administration buildings for the convenience of the people who are working during the day. People who work at the county live all over the county, and so, you know, that may be another factor in people choosing, but we are looking at two different buildings in downtown Phoenix.
Will it just be limited to the people that work for the county, or will anyone be available to, or any patient?
That's a great question. It will not be limited to Maricopa County employees. The study will only be of Maricopa County employees, but anyone who's interested in integrative primary care, for whom the location is convenient, will be able to enroll in the clinic and receive their primary care there.
Good information. Dr. Mazes, thank you. It's always a pleasure. We will see you later in December. Always good information. Have a great afternoon, and congratulations on this, the Maricopa County study and program.
Thank you so very much.
Dr. Mays is with us on the Buckmaster Show. Let's talk airfares. That's always timely around the holidays. That's coming up next on the Buckmaster Show.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington.
Major U.S. banks are among the top gainers today on Wall Street, where stocks have soared higher after today's coordinated action by central banks in the U.S. and worldwide. The banks move to lower the cost of borrowing. Iran is seeing some diplomatic fallout from yesterday's attacks by an angry mob on the British embassy and a diplomatic residential compound in Tehran. Herman Cain says he's seen a groundswell of positive support from backers in the wake of the allegation of a long-term extramarital affair. A government attorney says John Hinckley's request to spend more time outside a Washington mental hospital is premature. Hinckley tried to assassinate President Reagan back in 1981. The Dow up 396 points. More details at srnnews.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
It's 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show, the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. It is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, with a signal that pretty much reaches Phoenix. And speaking of Phoenix, if you thought it was cheaper to fly to Phoenix rather than Tucson International Airport, think again. According to the annual survey done by Inside Tucson Business, our friend Dave Hatfield over there, Tucson was cheaper than Phoenix, well, by $1 on the average fare difference between the two cities to the top 12 travel destinations. Joining us in studio on the Buckmaster Show is Dick Grunzel, the Chief Financial Officer for Tucson International Airport. Dick, good to see you again.
Good. Thank you, Bill.
You have got to be a happy man after seeing, I think Dave Hatfield's been doing the survey for 5 years, and every year it seemed like the difference started to shrink down, and now Tucson actually has parity, edging out Phoenix, but it's even more than just that $1 when you think about the travel time and the cost of getting up there.
Right. Yeah. Even in past years, when the average fare in Tucson was just a little bit higher, when you add in things like the cost of driving up there, the time it takes you to drive up there, parking is much more expensive. And especially now, when the average fare is really no different than Phoenix, adding all those extra costs in many, many cases, and probably most of the time, it's going to be actually cheaper to fly from Tucson rather than driving to Phoenix. And just the convenience factor as well is so much better, I think, flying out of Tucson than Phoenix.
What do you think has brought about, though, this airfare parity?
Well, I mean, it really kind of, I think, has its roots going back all the way to the 90s when Southwest Airlines entered the Tucson market. And, Southwest Airlines coming into a market has always had an effect of just lowering overall airfares. And Tucson, just over the years, has really benefited from that. And, you know, beyond that, I think, it's very tough to figure out how airlines set their fares. But it does seem like they're basing them a lot more these days just on distances and so forth. And they really, it's a much more competitive environment, especially as the seat volume has shrunk from all of the various things that have gone over the last couple of years. So I think it's really just the competition. We have a healthy level of competition here in Tucson that's really keeping the fares down overall with all the carriers.
Dick Grunzel is with us from Tucson International Airport. If you have any airfare or air questions you'd like to join in the conversation, the Buckmaster Show live line is always open for you, 790-2040. The big news of the week when it comes to airlines, Dick, is American Airlines announcing that they are doing a Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing and pretty much joining. They're the last of the big carriers to go this route, and there's been speculation that that was going to happen for a long time, and it has happened. What I think the impact for those of us here in Southern Arizona, because a lot of us use American Airlines out of TIA, what does it mean to us?
In the immediate term, honestly, it really means very little. as you mentioned, American is kind of the last one. So Delta, Northwest, United, Continental have all gone through this. U.S. Airways have all gone through this process in the past. And really in all of those cases for us, there really has been very little impact. And American is operating business as usual. I really don't see them, making a whole lot of flight adjustments any more than they normally just would as part of their normal business. So from a practical standpoint, the event yesterday of them filing Chapter 11 really has no impact on us whatsoever right now.
Yeah, and the Wall Street Journal today, quoting the American Airlines people in Dallas, is saying that there would be, just as you're saying, some adjustments and on a capacity level, maybe cutting a flight here or there, but pretty much it's business as usual.
Right. And the other factor working in our favor here is American has been at this airport. It was the first airline that started doing business at Tucson International Airport. They have a very good following here. The flights that we have that go out of Tucson are pretty full. So it's we're a profitable market for American. So given that, I don't see really any risk, right now that we're going to be seeing any real impact from reduced flights.
And American's been excited about the Tucson going, people think it has been traditionally going east on American, but they've been excited about the American Eagle and going to L.A. and the connections to Asia.
That's right. Just in April, we hadn't had service to LAX on American. So in April, they added three flights. And that those three flights have done so well that they just recently announced that they're going to be adding a fourth flight starting in February. Not only going to Asia, but it really just kind of opens up the whole West Coast market for American, which they really were not in that market previously with before that only flying to Dallas and Chicago.
We talked to you the last time you were with us about the Air Service Incentive Plan. What is the latest on that?
Well, we've had some, good reaction from the community and excitement about the fact that we have this program to offer. We've really been partnering also with the Southern Arizona Logistics Education Organization, who did a survey of not only their members, but that was fairly widely distributed through other business groups in town of destinations that they would like to see if we could establish from Tucson into Mexico. And we do flights into Mexico do qualify for that incentive program. And so based on those results, which we got over 800 plus responses, Guaymas actually came out as the number one top desired destination, and Hermosillo was a rather distant second. So we've been talking with various airlines who might be interested in providing service. We've also been talking with airport officials in Mexico, as well as people in various business groups in Mexico. And the data from this survey is going to help us in those discussions to demonstrate that we really do have a demand for service into Mexico.
And over the years, there has been nonstop service. Aeromexico had service, and then there was another airline. I can't think of it.
Aero California.
Aero California, because we took it way back in 1988. We took the nonstop service that they had down to Guaymas, and that was nice, but it's kind of been off and on.
Yeah, the last flights that we had to Mexico were going to Hermosillo on Aeromexico back in and those flights ended back in 2008, kind of as the oil prices got out of control, and then the economy hit us of course. There's really a lot of business connections in Guaymas, but it's also a leisure destination, being close to San Carlos. So we think that destination has a real possibility, and Aeromexico is certainly one of the airlines that we've had some, very preliminary discussion with, and is at least willing to meet with us to talk about the possibilities.
A couple of things we need to consider. The economy continues to be slow. The oil prices, anytime that 100 seems to be somewhat of a milestone, that $100 a barrel, that has huge impacts on the industry.
Yeah, the economy and the oil prices together are really still making it very difficult on the airline industry, and especially the oil prices. makes longer distance flights very difficult. Really the airline's major goal to maintain profitability is just really to limit the seats. They've been doing that really over the last 2 or 3 years, and they continue to be very disciplined in their approach. And they've managed to raise airfare somewhat. Of course, they have all of their ancillary fees that they've implemented over the last couple years as well. But in this environment, they really overall are still not in a mode where they're actually adding capacity overall to the route network.
You and your colleagues at Tucson International Airport always open and willing to listen to the people of the community. You've launched something called Working Together program.
That's right. This program is really designed to reach out to businesses such as our resort community, hotels, as well as the commercial businesses in town in terms of their travel folks, and really letting them know all of the good air service that we do have in Tucson, and letting them know that the cost is really not any better by going to Phoenix, and really trying to get out there with the people at the resorts, especially with the frontline people who are talking to people who want to come and visit Tucson, and encouraging them and letting them know that their best choice is to fly into Tucson International Airport rather than flying to Phoenix and driving to Tucson.
We had Allison Cooper, the marketing director of the Convention and Visitors Bureau, on the program yesterday talking about the importance of air service and trying to drum up business for TIA and all the people that she deals with. We're big supporters here at the Buckmaster Show of Tucson International Airport, and we urge all of our listeners, fly local. Don't worry about going up to Phoenix, and we are appreciative to have TIA on board as one of the Buckmaster Show sponsors. Dick Grunzel, thank you very much. The holiday season, what are you expecting? A little bit flat for the holiday travel season?
Yeah, really, probably pretty much flat. And again, that's kind of driven by the number of flights and the number of seats we have. I mean, to the extent that we do have a couple of more flights, hopefully we'll be up a little bit less from last year.
Have a great holiday season, Dick.
All right, you too. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Dick Grunzel from Tucson International Airport. Coming up on 12:46 on the Buckmaster Show, we'll be talking about Tucson's birthplace, the cornerstone of the original Rio Nuevo plan. Whatever happened to the Mission Gardens project? That's next. Stay with us.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media, or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you. Want to lose weight? You're not alone. 2 out of 3 people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
It's 12:50 on the Buckmaster Show, the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. 790-2040, 790-2040 is the Buckmaster Show live line, and we are delighted now to welcome to the Buckmaster Show Roger Pfeiffer, former superintendent of Tucson Unified School District, and he is now the co-chairman of the Friends of Tucson's Birthplace, which is hoping to take over management of the Mission Gardens project at the base of A Mountain. And when we talk about that area, that is really the kind of the Tucson's birthplace, and it was once the cornerstone of the original Rio Nuevo plan. Roger, it is good to see you.
Bill, it's very good to see you.
And go ahead.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and congratulations on the success of your show.
Thank you so much. And I was just going to say that we have talked over the years over and over again about education, but this time we're not necessarily talking about education, but in a way we are.
Absolutely.
Because for kids and young people and those of us that have even been in Tucson a while, the Mission Gardens really is kind of where Tucson began.
Absolutely. It is the birthplace of Tucson. That area at the base of A Mountain has been shown to have been used agriculturally continuously for 4,000 years. That is an amazing feature and probably unmatched in the United States.
Tell me a little bit about Mission. Where is the project right now?
Well, geographically, it is literally at the base of A Mountain, just east of Mission Road, at the corner of Mission Road and Mission Lane. It is 4 acres enclosed by a reconstructed modern adobe wall, and it is sitting basically at the western edge of the Tucson Origins Heritage Park.
What happened to the Heritage Park? It, as I mentioned in the introduction, it was really a cornerstone of the original Rio Nuevo plan. But then the Rio Nuevo plan, as we all know, has been, to put it generously, a work in progress since 1999. So it just sort of was backburnered.
Well, there was many of us understood that the plans for Rio Nuevo were made during a much different economic time, and those were very good plans. Some of the plans were way out there, and you know, took a lot of time and took
the
way
Rainbow
too many resources.
Bridge.
Exactly, but when the economy went south on us, we realized that it was probably not realistic for us to expect the public funding of this. And so what several of us looked at was creating an organization that would create a public-private partnership and allow the dream, which really was the cornerstone of the Rio Nuevo proposition that was passed in 1999 in Prop 400 by the voters. The cornerstone was the reconstruction of the history to be part of the economic redevelopment of downtown Tucson.
So really the gardens is the first piece in this.
The gardens.
You want to make this right before you move on.
I think the last thing that was able to be done was that the wall was built. So we have this wall built around 4 acres of bare earth, mm-hmm. and it was the logical first step.
And you're planting 130 heirloom fruit trees.
We are so excited about this project. There is a small orchard at the desert, Sonoran Desert Museum, that is heritage Kino fruit trees. And so this will be a significant large orchard. Jesus Garcia from the Desert Museum is assisting us, as are many experts on trees. And all of these trees can be traced through their DNA, if you will, to the very trees that were brought over by the Spanish missionaries and Father Kino.
So right now, the city council needs to sign off on this and Pima County, and that's coming up, I guess, in the next 10
working,
days or so.
Yeah, we have been working for about 6 months with the city and the county to come to an agreement that will allow Friends of Tucson's Birthplace to be the operators of the garden. This is not an ownership issue. This is merely an operating agreement. It's 5 years and renewable after 5 years. We're looking at this at best as a bridge between the bad economic times and hopefully better. But if the economic times don't get better, then we expect to operate that for longer than that.
Where does the Rio Nuevo Board then fit in on this land?
Well, the Rio Nuevo Board, we have recently been in kind of informal contact with the Rio Nuevo Board, and we both expressed an interest in getting together. And we are trying to find dates that are appropriate for both of us. So I would expect in the next couple of weeks we will be able to sit down with either the whole board or representatives of the board and talk about what we want to do.
And this is basically, as you say, you'll be managing this property.
Correct.
Yeah.
This is an operating agreement.
Now, the convento, the reconstruction of the convento was, of course, part of the original Rio Nuevo project. Is there talk, and a museum complex, is there talk that if that could still happen someday?
Well, the Tucson Origins Park property is still intact as a piece of property. There are certainly issues about that need to be worked out. But we see the garden as not a standalone project, but as part of the eventual Tucson Origins Heritage Park completion. As for the museums, those are something that are out of our bailiwick, and we're focusing on strictly the historical reconstruction and restoration.
And the 4 acres, would there be a timeline garden that would really trace? People have been living in this area at the base of A Mountain for at least 4,000 years.
Exactly. And we're not talking about just living there. We're talking about planned agriculture being conducted there. So they've been living there for thousands of years before that. Yes, the Keno Heritage Tree Orchard is phase one. Then we're going to do at least three other phases. One of the, and we're not entirely sure of the order of these phases, but we want a Spanish crop garden, and then we want a time garden that will show the Tejana Otham, the Hohokam, the Chinese, and the Mexican, and then the territorial gardens as the different people came in and changed the agriculture.
This is a grassroots organization, Friends of Tucson's Birthplace. You've raised, I think, more than $100,000 through donations and some grant money.
Yes, we have. We currently have 9 members. We've been in existence for 2 years now as a nonprofit. We have raised approximately $106,000 through donations and grants. We have been blessed by over 100 individual donors, a couple neighborhood associations, and we have over 400 signatures of support, many of whom want to volunteer in the garden.
Where can people get more information about Friends of Tucson's Birthplace?
You can contact our website at tucsonsbirthplace.com, and we'd be happy to help out.
From there.
Yes.
But those trees do – I was reading that the first round of planting has to be done or some of that grant money has to be returned.
That's true.
So you got to get some of these trees in the ground, Roger.
Exactly. Well, and we also have planting windows in the desert and the southwest. So the planting window we're looking at is the middle of February to the end of March. And how perfect that it coincides with the state centennial. And the celebration of Keno, 300 years of Father Keno.
All right. That's the Tucson Origins Park, San Augustine Mission Garden. Roger Pfeiffer, thank you very much. Friends of Tucson's Birthplace, good luck with the project.
Bill, thank you, and keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. The Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Boy, does this hour just fly by on the Buckmaster Show, but we will do it all again live tomorrow at noon on KVOI. Hope you have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.